got them, but you may not know it, but we have a former pastor, Brother Van Ness, that is here with us today. Isn't that exciting? Amen. And I don't care how aged you may come in life. You may have to carry a cane. You may not hear as good as you used to. But there's one thing you never retire from. That's a calling. Amen. You never retire from a calling. And I am so thankful that he is here today. And it is such a treat to have him with us. Thank you, Elder, for being with us today. Got to meet him just about a week ago. It was the highlight of our, we enjoyed dinner, but it was the highlight of our weekend getting to meet Brother Van Ness. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we are going into the Word of God here. That one feels better. Amen. Judges chapter number 16. Good to have Brother Cooper with us on the back row back there. Good to have him back in service with us today. We love him very much as well, and good to have him with us. Austin, three services in a row. Amen. Good to see you, Austin. We sure do appreciate. And Autumn, and I forgot the other one's name. I apologize. I'm terrible. Everybody say bake sale. Next Saturday, 8 o'clock. Have your food there. They'll take care of the rest. Is that good enough? All right. Next Sunday is Easter Sunday up here on one of our business cards. Lovely little conveniently has our service times. Amen. These are really easy to stick in your wallet. Will you come to church with me? What time does it start? You won't forget. Just flip it over. It's right there. And it says you are invited to come and worship with us. We want them to come and have just to feel what we get to feel, and we take for granted every single Sunday. So next Sunday is Easter Sunday. We could break 60. I've been saying 50, but I think we could break 60. Amen? How many people are you going to bring to church with you next Sunday? Judges chapter number 16. I'll tell you what, we've done so much standing. I'm going to let you be seated because I'm going to read a really long passage of Scripture. Is that okay? We're not being disrespectful, but I'm going to read a long passage of Scripture. Starting at verse number 23 is where we're starting. And the Lord of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their God, and to rejoice, for they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. Then the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass when their hearts were merry, and they said, call for Samson, that he make sport, that he make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport. And they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the Lord of the Philistines were there. And they were upon the roof, about 3,000 men and women. And behold, while Samson made sport, and Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, and one was with the right hand, the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which slew in his life. This with his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him, and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. I'm going to preach just for a little while on this topic. take me to the pillars. Take me to the pillars. The sound began to, pardon me while I just build a little bit of a foundation. I'm going to preach a little bit different today. But they began to hear the blip on the radar. There was something happening in the distance. They were seeing something on the sonars coming across as a beep, and then another beep, and another bop, and just little noises that were coming across. And they began to pick this up, and there began to be alert made on the ship, and there was some noises coming around, and finally one of them picked up the dispatch phone and made call to headquarters on the island, and they said, we're picking up some things on the radar that don't seem normal. Something seems amiss. We know that we don't have any planes in the sky at this point, but there's something happening on the horizon. It's dark. We can't see, but there's something on the radar saying something's not right. Day was beginning to break at this point in time, and it was getting close, and the man that was supposed to be watching on the radar on land had taken his little dog and taken it for a walk. And he was out on the walk with his dog, and the wife said, well, let me get my husband so he can come in and take a look and see what's going on. And she rushed out the door and got her husband, and he went in, and he began to look at the sonars and the radars, and he said, yeah, there's some things going out there, but my memory says that we're supposed to be having some new planes coming from the mainland, and they're arriving today. So tell all the ships to disregard all signal. Still yet today, you can see the murky oil coming up from the water as thousands of men were buried at sea that night, because in the darkness of night, flying 30 hours in a plane, knowing they didn't have enough fuel to go back home, there was something called the kamikaze pilot that was flying an airplane that would become a projectile. Never intended to fly back home, but intended to meet its mark and destroy everything in its path. And that took this sleeping giant of America off into something that said, we better get up to our post. We better recognize who we are. We better double check the sails. We better double check the planes. We better double check our security. And a sleeping giant began to shake as we were attacked in a battle called Pearl Harbor. Many of us were not around during that generation. Some of you and your grandfathers and grandmothers' generation still remember the chaos that went across our country. It awoke a sleeping giant. We find in this particular passage, I have preached a message sometime past called Between Zorah and Eshtaol. And some of you may remember that message years ago that I preached. And with the message in a nutshell was a story of Samson being born, being dedicated. He was a Nazarite, which means he was separated from any strong drink. He didn't drink anything made from grapes or berries. He was on a particular diet. He had certain things that he couldn't do that everybody else did. And that is what a chosen, separated, called Nazarite was separated for the cause of being a child of God. With this came, under direction of God, that he would be separated. And because of this, he was a young man that had power with God. He had anointing upon his life. He could shake himself. He had uncanny ability to defeat the enemy. He was called to be a warrior. He was called to be one that protected the things of God. And we find even at a young age that Samson knew and Samson recognized that anointing could be brought on, and he could feel the power of God, and he knew what it was at one point to pick up the jawbone of a donkey and slay an entire army of men simply because of the anointing upon his life. But we find in Scripture with this particular instance this young man somewhere along the way, just like many of us, found himself longing to be culturally relevant, found himself longing to have meaning in place and fit in with the rest of the crowd and the peers. And he got up and finally had a little bit of an argument with his father, if you will. And he went down into what they called the foreign land. He went into a place that wasn't normal tradition for them to go. And he began to mess around in a foreign land. And pretty soon he found himself in due time messing around into deeper places than he ever dreamed he would go. Found himself in the lap of luxury, if you will. No doubt respected by everybody. Everybody knew his power, but nobody knew his secret. Everybody knew what he could do, but nobody really knew where it came from, because he was hiding. Hear me now. In a foreign land. The Bible says we're strangers. We're sojourners. Just passing through. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. But in the process of that, we sing that old song. But how easy is it for us to hide amongst the trees? How easy is it for us to hide amongst everything else? And people know you've got an anointing upon your life. People look at you and they can recognize there's something different. You can be at Walmart. You can be at the gas station. And they see something about you. But they really don't know what's different. And it's very easy for us to know what's inside of us and really never reveal the secret that's hidden inside of us. Really never let the revelation of what has changed our world, because we fear we will be known for what we really are. I think it's time, come on now, for the church to stand up and let our voice be heard and say, you know what, I may be in a foreign land, but you better know what separates me from everything else is not because I'm smart, not because I'm a good dad, not because I'm a good husband, but it's the anointing that's inside of me that makes the difference. How easy is it for us to want to enjoy the pleasures of life? And you think about this, a young man that could get up and destroy an army before breakfast. That held a lot of clout. That probably brought him immense fame, because when they began to come to Delilah and said, we want you to find out this guy's secret. We can't defeat him. He'll shake himself and defeat entire armies. You've got to find out what his secret was. You know what that tells me? Everybody in the land knew who Samson was. And I wonder sometimes, and this is just pastors crazy thinking because I know how people are, if the reason he enjoyed being in the foreign land sometimes, number one, he could hide. But number two, he could show off. Uh-oh. When you're amongst the enemy, it's very easy to get up and slay a few devils. Hear me now. It's very easy for you to just get up and say, well, if you just call on the name of Jesus and let me pray for you, and God will heal you and God will fix that. You know what? And pretty soon it's very easy for us to get caught into the mystique and think that we hold all the cards and we hold all the keys. But we better remember the strength that's in us is not of we ourselves. Even Jesus Christ, when he walked on this earth, he said, don't look at me. I'm just a flesh sacrifice. I'm going to be hung on a cross. And you know what? It won't become all in all until I'm rebirthed and I'm resurrected from the grave. And you know what? Then I'm going to be all in all again. But right now, don't look at me. Look at the Spirit inside of me. These things do not of me of myself, but of my Father which sent me. I think even Jesus knew the temptation of pulling that thing back to himself. There's a danger in that. I couldn't tell you the number of preachers that's gotten caught up that this is my church. This is not my church. I'm just called the pastor of this church for the season. And you know what? Someday they're going to close the lid and somebody will come in and take this church to a whole nother level. Not because they're smart, not because they're a better pastor, because this is God's church. And God didn't create anything to be a dead church. And the sooner we recognize that we aren't smart, we're just blessed. We aren't righteous. Come on now. We're just changed through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what makes us righteous. We're not somehow some holy walking. Only reason we can stay on top of the water is because we still got our eyes on Jesus. But let me remind us here today, we may be apostolic. We may preach about miracles. We may preach about things that you can lay hands on the sick and see them recover. But let me explain to you one thing that Peter found out very quickly. When you take the eyes off of Jesus, you lose your power, and all of a sudden you're going to find yourself in a foreign land with your eyes gouged out, and now you're the sport of every single person around you. And here you find at the hands of a grinding meal, as Samson was there day after day pushing a grinding meal. You know what? When you are a child of God and you fall away and you think it's because you can handle it, let Samson remind us here today that you will become the sport of the devil, and you will become the mule, if you will, of everything around. And all of a sudden, you become the one that's pushing the plow and pushing those things. And you know what? The wages of sin are a very heavy weight, and it's a long road. And it's a rough road. And sometimes we think living for God is too hard. Let me remind you, the wages of sin are death. We have life. He has death. Let me ask you, what is the better choice? We sometimes think we can handle this, and we think we, because we'll shake ourselves and we'll go to an altar and we'll pray through again next Sunday. But I can take this over the week. I can handle this little temptation. Let me remind you, it wasn't the army that destroyed Samson. No offense, ladies. I'm not a male chauvinist. But it was a little sweet-talking lady that said, "Tell me, if you would just tell me the secret." She began to stroke that hair. "It's just a little thing. It's just a small thing." You know what? If an army rose up, Samson could shake himself and destroy them. But he couldn't handle something so small. Let me remind us as apostolics, if you've been saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, it's probably not a six-pack of Budweiser, and it's probably not meth, and it's probably not heroin that's going to destroy you. It's a little attitude. It's a little thought that sneaks in. It's a little seed that got planted when you looked at something and you thought something. And you went somewhere, and the devil eased one in on you. You know what? It's probably not fornication that's going to destroy you. It's that little thing that slips in, and all of a sudden it gets roots, and it begins to live, and it begins to birth, and all of a sudden it's a monster in the room. It's very difficult to kill something when you've lost all your power. Bible says she began to cut that hair. He rose up and he said, "Where are they at? I'll shake myself like other times. I'll do what I always do." And all of a sudden, he found his strength was gone. He found when he tried to do the things that he used to do, all of a sudden, he recognized. And you know what? I think his biggest fear wasn't that his muscles wasn't big, but there's something inside the DNA of every man. When he recognizes the anointing is not there, there's no scarier place. There's there's no fearful place than when you recognize the anointing is not in my time zone. I've missed my mark. I've missed my place. There's something missing. And you know what? It'll drive you crazy. Because you know what it is to feel the anointing. Watched people sit in a red hot apostolic church, tears streaming down their face. Everybody else in the church has moved, but yet you can watch someone sitting in the sanctuary and they're emotionally unchanged. They're physically unmoved, and all of a sudden you recognize they're in a dry place. They're in a place that's very dangerous, because you know what? There is something that is very dangerous about being in the presence of God and not being able to feel the presence of God. There is something that you're dangering and teetering on what I consider the Bible calling a reprobate mind. All of a sudden you don't know right from wrong. All of a sudden the devil's knocking on your door and you can just let him in because you don't recognize the face anymore. Come on, Pastor, you hadn't heard Pastor preach this heavy in a while, but sometimes we need to come face to face with what's inside of us. We don't take it for granted. We better protect it with every single thing we've got. You know what? If somebody come knocking on your door in the middle of night and tried to open your door and get after little Izzy or get after one of those kids or get after little Raylan, you know what? You would fight till you didn't have any flesh left on your bones. You would do everything you could to get them out of your house. But we let spirits in. We let evil things slip in the back door. And we let the devil come in and play with our kids' minds and play with our minds. Somehow we pretend it's not happening. And there's going to come a day that we're going to recognize, I need to shake myself. Something don't feel right. There's something not. I don't feel the. My baby's sick. Somehow, when I lay my hands on her head, I'm trying to evoke the name of Jesus. I don't feel I have the power. There's something missing. Something just not right. There's a danger. Because it's just the little things that started sneaking in. And all of a sudden you recognize it's gone. Can't imagine what Samson must have felt when they just picked him up like a whole deer dragging it out of the field, and he was powerless to do anything back. You know what they said? The first thing they did when they got a hold of him was make sure that they took something and they gouged out his eyes. The first thing the devil wants to do when he gets you is try to make sure you can't see to get back. If he can destroy your vision, you will lose your motive to keep going. If you can't see the voice and the vision of God and you lose your vision, that's a very dangerous place. The Bible says, without a vision, my people perish. They will lose sight. They don't have the ability to recognize who I am and what I can do. And there he was, running, going round and round as they chained him to a millstone. Once the man that had everything, once that man could bring anybody to his beck and call, he now was forced to just become a laughing stock of the enemy. And you know what? We think we can handle the devil, but there comes a point when we don't have the power of God, we also don't have the power to overcome the devil. He kicks us around like a rag doll, rolls us in the dirt, and drags us through it again. while he's mocking us. And you think I'm joking. Is there anybody been delivered from addictions in this house? Anybody know what it is for the devil to drag you around by the nose and know you can't get out because you're stuck and you're trapped and the devil makes a mockery of you? But somehow we got to recognize that when the devil finally oftentimes gets you back in that same state, you've got to recognize where your power comes from. You've got to recognize that somehow all of a sudden the devil lost sight of Samson. Somewhere in his darkest moment, pastor's going to preach a little. I beat us up. Now I'm going to give you a little hope. You ready? Somewhere along the line of that grinding mill, legs tired, sweat pouring, back probably bruised, calluses on his hands and blisters on his feet. There was something still churning on the inside. There was something still deep down on the inside that says it didn't used to be like this. I remember what it was. And I'll be under. As Samson began to pray a little prayer, there was something churning on the inside that says, God, if I can just get a chance, if I just get a moment, I'm gonna make this score even. God, if you just somehow... And somewhere along the line, that hair began to grow and the anointing began to come back. And he didn't let anybody know what was going on. But laying there in the muck and the mire, there was some prayer starting to go up. I don't care how bad the devil's beat you. I don't care how much he's kicked you. I don't care if you've lost your vision and you've lost your faith. If you still got breath in your body, there's a prayer that can go up and something can take place in the spirit that nobody else can see. And when at the bottom, there's only one place to go, and that's up. And there, that prayer began to go. Then the big day came. They called all the big shots. They put them on the top of the house. The Bible said there was over 3,000 of them piled on top of the house. Let me remind you, the devil may take your eyes, but if you still got an ear, he that hath an ear, let him hear. You can still hear the voice of God. You know what? He can take your ear, but you know what? He can't take your heart. There's something down inside. There's a Bible says, as the deer panteth after the water brook, so doth my heart pant after thee, O God. And there's something that begins to churn on the inside of a man when he's lost all exit routes and he has no place else to go. And when it begins to churn, something begins to happen. All of a sudden, it's just a little tweak. It's just a little moment. It's just a little conversation, but all of a sudden, you feel that power. You start reading the Bible. All of a sudden, there's something on the inside working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. And all of a sudden, things begin to happen. And the Bible says they brought him out to make a mockery of him. And he says, young lad, you just get me to the post. You don't just make sure I can't see it. And you don't understand it, but young man, just take me by the hand. I can't see it. I've come to tell somebody, you may not have everything right. You may not have everything perfect in your world, but if you can link up with somebody that can see and you can get back in the presence of God, there comes a point. He says, just take me to the pillar. There's only one thing more dangerous than a mean animal. That's a hurt animal. Come on now. When you take a red hot apostolic that knows what it is to be filled with the Holy Ghost, he knows the name of Jesus, and the devil's backed him in a corner, and there ain't no place else to go. There is, you're going to make one a choice or another. You're either going to die or you're going to die trying to do it. Because there comes something, a sense of desperation kicks in. And Samson said, you know what, God, I'm not asking for much. And I'm probably an old man and I'm not good much for society anymore at this point. But if you can just get me to the pillars, I'm going to put one last licking on this devil if I've ever done it. And he began to push. And the Bible said he slew more in his death than he ever slew while he was ever living alive. I've come to tell somebody in this house, let's all stand, I'm coming to a close, but I've come to tell somebody in this house, and maybe many of us in this house, your story ain't over, your life ain't done, there's things that God still wants to do in your life, and you think, because I've had addictions, I've had mess ups, and I've had Holy Ghost hiccups, that all of a sudden, God's done closed the chapter on my book. Let me remind you, he's the author. When the devil says the story's over, he says, no, I'm writing this book. I think I might just add a chapter to this book. I think I might just put a different ending. And the devil doesn't have a control. Because when you get that anointing and you crawl back into the presence of God and the Spirit of God begins to move one more time, you know what? There's a new chapter. It doesn't end around the bend. It doesn't end around the circle. But now all of a sudden, you begin to be used by God. You begin to let God take something that the devil said it's over, and all of a sudden God says, we'll just see about that. Because last time I checked, he's God and he don't share it with anybody. Pastor, come to tell you, I don't care how many barrels the devil's bent you over and beat you until you were a bloody pulp. It's time for you to stand up and get some Holy Ghost aggravation going on. It says, devil, I've had about one too many. You ain't going to take my children. You ain't going to take my family. And you sure ain't going to take my soul. Because in the name of Jesus, demons have to flee. At the name of Jesus, there is something takes place in the atmosphere. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Pastor, come. With an anointing on his mind today and a spirit that wants to connect with yours to tell you one more time, if you've ever had the Holy Ghost, God ain't done with you yet. If you've ever had the Spirit of God moving through you, my question for you is, the only way that book ends is if you close the book. But as long as you keep it open and allow him to author what he wants in your life, let him finish it, and things will be much different in the end of that story. I wonder how many would come around this altar. If you want to kneel, you can kneel. How many would just come and spend a few minutes with God? Say, God, I want you to shake me one more time. God, I need your anointing one more time. I just need to feel your presence one more time. Is there anybody else? Come on, the altar's not your enemy, it's your best friend. Is there anybody else that would just want to come around this altar and say, God, I'm asking you one more time to reach down and anoint me. I need to feel a little bit of your spirit flowing through my soul one more time, God. Could I just feel a little bit of that Holy Ghost rain drip one more time down? I think I hear a sound of the abundance of rain. I think I hear something going on in the atmosphere. Pastor, come to tell you, I don't know what your issue is. I don't know what your life circumstance is. I don't know what's frustrating your mind and your world. But Pastor, come to tell you, if you'll turn it over to Jesus, if you allow God to completely saturate your life again, let me ask you, what do you have to lose? What do you have to go back to? The devil is nothing there but death. What do you have to as an alternative? If you will turn it over to Jesus, he'll turn your life around. He'll transform your thinking. He'll transform your mind. And you know what? He'll give you a ministry back. He'll give you an anointing back. He'll give you life back. Thank you, Jesus. I wonder if you could reach over with the hand of someone next to you and let's pray together. God, I pray you'll let them see God. Come on, grab a neighbor's hand right now and tell them, show me where the pillar's at one more time. Show me where the pillar's at one more time. Just get me in the vicinity. Come on, let's lift up the name of Jesus. Come on, pray for somebody right now. In the name of Jesus, let the anointing reach down. Let your spirit transform our thinking. Let us not never forget God. We're a child of God. We may be wearing slave clothes, but I'm a child of God. I may not have everything right, but I'm a child of God. I've been called. I've been bought. I've been purchased with the very blood of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Come on, you're starting to feel those pillars. That's the anointing of God. That's the presence of God. That's the Spirit of God right now. Jesus' name right now. In Jesus' name right now. Come on. God's beginning to birth something in you right now. There's a burden begin to birth. There's an anointing that you're beginning to feel right now. God's saying, I ain't forgot your zip code. I still know where you're at. You may be way, way away from where you thought I would find you, but I've never lost sight. I still know where you're at. I still know what you're going through, and I'm still your father. In the name of Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on. Let's continue to tarry in the Holy Ghost right now. God's doing things in this place. Something's being birthed right now in the Spirit. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh God. In Jesus' name. Come on. Let God continue to purge you. Let God continue to move through you. There's something being birthed in the Spirit right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. Ilalalobosea. Ikono roboshata. Oh, God. Come on, keep reaching for him right now. He's beginning to saturate you. Come on, let's not be content with just a drip, but somehow let him pour a spout over you. How long's it been since you really spoke in tongues? How long's it really been since you've been lost in his presence? How long's it been since you really know what it was to get lost in the presence of God? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on. Let's keep praying. God's still touching people all over this building. If you don't want to lift your hands, just bow your head and pray. Let's continue to let God touch some folks in this house. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel like God just walked into this place to wrap his arms around you and say, I still know where you're at. I ain't forgot about you. I still have you in my radar, and I still have you in my plan. I ain't forgot about you. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. The devil don't know it, but he's woke up some giant slayers in this house. He's pulled some people out of a cave and said, you know what? I have a mission for you. Society's wrote you off. Life's wrote you off, and you wrote yourself off. But there are some mighty men beginning to surround David right now. There's some mighty men that says, I'll fight. I'll go to battle. I'll do whatever it takes. We don't have long to fight, but I'm going to give it everything I've got. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name.